Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's going to be a Merry Christmas, I can tell, Brain.
Yeah.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mas.
Wrestle me, Mas, Peter.
We are hurtling towards a festive, and he said ghoulish Christmas. That was last episode.
Ghouls. I was recently in Brussels.
Oh.
Because I was on my way to Bruges.
Okay.
Can you tell whether I keep on getting Bruges and Brussels mixed up?
Yes.
I do. And I was in Bruges, and I was walking from the station to our Airbnb, which looked much better in the photos. And one whole wall unpainted. I mean, not in a cool way.
No.
Had wires coming out of it.
Ooh.
But they'd chosen not to feature that in the photo. They'd gone on the other side.
Well,
of,
the camera's got to go somewhere, hasn't it?
I know. I mean, it should have really done 50-50 to fill me in. I took my parents, so that was nice. So I heard a lot about the wall.
is this what 2019 is like? This is where people stay. They don't have hotels. They stay in unpainted houses.
Just look, it's all very nice. It's lovely. I know we've only been here 4 hours, but you should probably drop them a line and just say they might want to rethink the photo. Yeah, I'd quite like to go and see the group house, if that's all right. Yeah, well, okay. I'll remind you in an hour. literally up. While I was walking, you know, to it, I went past a shop that had a little poster for wrestling. And I thought, oh my God, if that's here.
Cool.
I'm only here for 2 days.
Yeah, I'm going to sneak out.
I don't know how I'm going to get out of the house to watch this.
Right.
No one else will come with me, but I desperately want to go and see it. I didn't even see who was on. I was gutted. But what I did see is when I went to the supermarket to go and get some chocolate milk. I do like European chocolate milk. No, it's not a euphemism. It sounded weird.
You might have been cruising for something.
I saw a wonderful combination of Christmas and Peter.
Right, okay. Is it Black Peter, the famous horrible
Yes, yes. He's become a little bit of a secret in Belgium. They used to be very open about Black Peter, who is the chum who hangs around with St. Nicholas.
Yes, okay, right,
And I noticed this year there are a lot of St. Nicholases, and I was like, that's nice to see.
Yeah, very few Black Peters, though.
Yes, until you get out of the main centre. And then they got them like dog whistles. I went to a market really early in the morning. I bought some little donuts.
Ooh.
They were delicious, and the woman had a whole market stall, which was probably about like 15 foot long, decorated with St. Peter's, but right in the corner. If you look very closely,
no treat.
She definitely put a little Black Peter there as a slight, flick your teeth to a political correctness gone mad. Literally the only black faces are in my entire time in Bruges. So when they're like, oh, it's not right, it is a real problem. I went to this supermarket to get my chocolate milk, and they had loads and loads of pictures. So it would say, Willkommen, St. Nick et Peter.
Yeah.
Like that. Not Peter Noir or anything, just say Peter.
No, just say hello, Peter.
Hello,
right,
Peter.
Okay. Could be anything.
Lots of drawings the kids have done, though.
Oh
yeah, we're not responsible for them. That's not corporate branding, is it? These are by the kiddies. Kiddies, you can't tell kiddies what to do.
No.
Well, you can hide one of the bloody pens, I'll tell you that much. So Merry Christmas, everyone.
White Peter and White Mark.
I'm very much a fan as well of Japanese Peter, who is, of course, the bunny girl from New Japan, who is Peter.
Oh, is that? Yes, that is her name, isn't it?
Yes,
she is amazing.
Three wonderful Peters, apart from one not being... Actually, he is wonderful, but his appropriation within... know, Belgian culture is disgusting.
Yeah, don't blame Peter.
It's not his fault.
Yeah.
He's a lovely little chap. Helping out St. Nicholas. This thanks he gets.
Yeah.
What, stuck at the back of a market of a racist? She did look racist. She saw me clocking it as well, and I could see her slightly go, oh, is this going to be an
this
issue?
Going to be a problem.
If you're worrying if it's an issue, get rid of it. Get rid of it.
He's licking his lips. He's salivating at the drama.
He really was. Mm. Oh, naughty Peter.
Naughty Peter. We went to Ghent.
Yeah,
together.
Because
we social. Because we socialise.
We're not
we
like
each
we're
other.
Not like other podcasters.
No,
who are like,
many
hey.
That I do myself.
Oh yeah,
we went to Belgium once, and I've been to Antwerp, I've been to Ghent, I've been to Brussels, and I've been to Bruges. And Ghent was probably one of my favourites.
I totally
Antwerp
agree.
Was great too.
You know, everyone's like banging on about, oh, Bruges is so beautiful and everything. And I'm like, well, those people didn't go to Ghent first.
No,
Ghent is better.
Didn't go that weird
Ghent
little communist. Coffee shop kind of slash bar.
Yeah, and we met a man who thanked us for the music of the Beatles.
So if you'd talked about the same guy, I visited there a few months later, uh-huh. and he wrote me a beautiful poem.
That's nice. Do you remember the heroin addicts who drew a picture of me?
That might have been the bloke.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, I do remember.
Yeah. And a lady said, would you care to have a drink with two of my friends? Just, you know, one of them is quite sweet on you. Mm, and I said, well, that hasn't happened for years.
Yes.
And I went over there and the lady was not to my taste.
She would have been to your tastes 40 years ago.
She was very old. And
if you had said she was 80, I would not have.
You're listening to WrestleMe.
WrestleMe.
And
we're back
Christmas.
In the room.
We are going to be talking today about a match which is, it's just spectacular. It stars one of the world's worst wrestlers, in my opinion, and one of the world's greatest performing wrestlers. I think he was just, it's Bobby Heenan versus the Ultimate Warrior in a weasel suit match. This took place at WrestleFest 88, which is, occasionally the WWF would put on these great big stadium shows, and this was a big one. Often when they did outdoor stadium shows, they'd record them for video release because it makes them look really impressive. And this was headlined by a Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan steel cage match.
Cool.
I think it's the only time they ever had a steel cage match. It's not very good at all.
Right.
And it takes place just after WrestleMania 4, where there's been this, a title tournament that Randy Savage won.
Just a quick one. Would they have made artificially the steel cage shorter to make Andre the Giant look bigger, do you reckon?
Ooh, don't know.
I would have done that.
Or given him huge shoes.
Spice Girls shoes.
So that his knees are above the top of the cage.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
A lot of time for that.
The one thing Andre needs is more barriers to being able to walk easily. That would help him out. This was an odd match in the Heenan. How old do you think Bobby Heenan is in this match?
I just think he's a rotund 43-year-old. I'm going to go with that.
That is pretty good. He's 44.
Is he? Wow. Yeah.
He just he always looked like he was 60 throughout his entire career.
Yeah.
He never really aged. It was exactly the same. But in this, you've got the Ultimate Warrior, who is one of the hot, up-and-coming, best-built performers in the WWF, going up against a 44-year-old man who is known as a manager who looks like he's in his 60s. And what's amazing about this match is not only is it one of the best things on WrestleFest 88, it also it toured as on the house shows, and it just did amazing business. People would happily pay to see this match.
Yeah.
Now, part of the reason they paid is absolutely 100% clear in this match. It's because Bobby Heenan, as a performer, is better than most of the people who have ever stepped foot in a wrestling ring.
He does the sort of selling that is basically like Dusty Rhodes, isn't he? Massive oversells, like flips, and pirouettes, and like he's just hilarious.
They do. There's a really good start to this where they go. You look at Heenan and you go, you're not an athlete. You're pudgy, you're out of shape, and you've got no offence. And the only person who doesn't realise that is Bobby Heenan. And Bobby Heenan thinks, I can beat this guy. And that's what's perfect about the character. He's so clever with that. What happens is, very quickly, he realises he's outmatched. And that is funny as well. The realisation of that. It's just perfection.
Oh,
it's
man.
So good. And he comes into this with, you know, that thing of cheating, and he's going to use everything he can to cheat. And none of it works. It's just
like,
amazing.
After running away from the Ultimate Warrior for ages,
yes.
he's just gone absolutely running away from him.
Oh, it's so good. The other funny thing about this match is not only when you look at them do you know what the result is going to be.
Right.
The best thing about it is it's a weasel suit match.
Yes.
Someone is going to end up in a weasel suit.
Why is a weasel suit... is this a thing? Is this a concept that's been used before?
Bobby Heenan called himself the Brain.
Right.
He was called since the 60s. I think it was the wrestler Dick the Bruiser. Ho, ho, ho. Sounds very
okay,
funny.
Right,
we don't have time to start doing that. What don't? but he was also termed the Weasel. Mm. So people used to chant at him, Weasel, Weasel. And he didn't like it. There is nothing really weaselly about
no.
him. No. He's sort of... But he would react really well. As soon as like one person would say Weasel, he'd pretty much hear it and just, what are you saying? You know? So they have a weasel suit match because he's known derogatorily as the Weasel. Who do you think is going to end up in the weasel suit? Is it the Ultimate Warrior or is it the Weasel? Weasel is one of the great English words. It really is.
But the suit just looks like, you know, when in American Psycho where he puts that that waterproof suit
yes.
on? It's sort of a bit like you've gone to kill some cockroaches in a house.
There's something funny about it as well, which is there's no such thing as a weasel suit.
No.
They're talking about it like it's a thing you might go, oh, of course, a weasel suit.
It's a protective suit that they bought, like it's a hazmat suit.
Yeah.
That they've taped some, they put tungsten tip screws on the ends of the
yes.
fingers.
It's either that or it's like squares of black fabric that they've sort of got, just make it look like claws or something, I don't know. And they put a tail on it. And the Ultimate Warrior, it's quite brilliantly, I hate everything he does. Everything he touches, I cannot stand. And I also think, you know, that's partly also because I think the man that he was.
Yeah.
And there's throughout the match, you can hear him just continually going, Weasel, Weasel. And it's just a match where everyone is saying the word weasel again and again and again. Bobby Heenan is just flipping around and looking terrified. Lord Alfred Hayes is on commentary and he has never seen anything funnier.
His friend is just getting...
Superstar Billy Graham is on with him. The single worst commentator in WWF history. Yeah.
It's the perfect storm. Billy Graham shit. Yeah. Lord Alfred Hayes cannot stop laughing.
Cannot stop laughing.
He barely gets any words
laughing.
Out.
It's one of the few times that you get
He's
a commentator.
It's a hacking kind of laughing.
It's one of the few times you get a commentator laughing on air who isn't having to fake it by going, and look at the bushwhackers there. Yeah. They're really giving that young lad a time of his life. This, he is just like, I know that guy. I know that guy. And the other guy is beating the shit out of him. And look at his face. He's shitting himself. He is laughing his arse off. You can hear a little clip of that just here. This is Alfred pissing himself as he watches a man of a similar age being attacked.
Well, Bobby Heenan's eyes are now open.
A weasel inside a weasel.
I don't think he's quite aware of what has happened.
No, I hope Alfred talk about it.
Surprise.
Weasel!
Chasing his tail!
Ah, look at him! Look! Oh, he's furious!
Yes, he is!
Oh, he can't get it off! Yes, he can!
Got one arm free!
Weasel! Oh, well, I'll take humiliation!
But the thing I like most about that, Alfred is having the time of his life. And what he's forgotten, of course, is that he's not just been invited along to see one of his mates get beaten up and then really shit himself laughing at it. There's a great bit where Sean Mooney turns to him. They've obviously not had a chat about this beforehand. And Sean Mooney goes, so how did this match come about, Lord Alfred? Alfred, credit to him, he refuses to think on his feet immediately. And this bit here is him trying to buy some time before he comes up with one of the most confusing reasons for a match ever happening right here.
Alfred, how did this match come about?
You'll have to ask the Warrior, but I'm telling you, he just wanted Heenan there, and Heenan didn't know that he'd signed himself into this actual match. He said he had first refusal of any match against anybody. Then he suddenly found out that he didn't have that. And
that's true.
He chucked himself into this match with the Warrior.
A amazing. So just something about a contract that is... It's so funny he goes into business for himself that he doesn't just go, well, I heard it was signed and Bobby Heenan, full of valour, but I think, you know, discretion would have been... It's easy to do. It's easy to do. Well, he had a no contract clause, but then that wasn't the... It's so... it's vintage Hayes. Vintage Hayes. Throughout this, all he does is laugh at Bobby Heenan. And Bobby Heenan is genuinely funny. The bit at the end where Heenan has been put to sleep with a sleeper. Mm. They get him in the weasel suit while Ultimate Warrior's going, weasel.
Can't get it over his boots.
No.
Cannot get it over his boots.
It's funny.
Didn't think about
it's
it. Give him
well
flares.
They've clearly not tried
Idiots.
It
yeah.
before.
It's
they
not
did
even
it.
His size.
No. And he gets
he
into it.
He can't do it up.
He gets into it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
When he looks at the paws, he looks at the paw and he takes it in as to what's happened with the... And he looks at that. To do that level of sort of panto acting in front of a stadium and to get a laugh out of it, he then sees the tail and he sort of chases the tail in anger and spins around. Alfred, destroyed
that.
By that. But honestly, I think you could watch that. And I just think about if you were in a stadium and you could do something that was just... The reaction and the way you moved that would make everybody laugh. It's incredible. Heenan is... He's one of those guys. He is seen as being one of the great wrestling managers of all time. Mm. He was. He started off as a wrestler. He was pretty good. He was famous for bump taking, which you can see here. He was, I think, the only manager ever used in St. Louis wrestling because that was run by very old school guys who didn't like the modern concept of managers.
Right, okay.
But he was just so good that they couldn't stop but use him. Mm. He was one of those guys who got so much heat in the '60s. He was the manager of a guy called Nick Bockwinkel, who we just mentioned in the.
Oh.
the episode talking about Coco Beware as being a project done by Prince and Bob Mould that turned out to be fictional. But he was the manager of a guy called Nick Bockwinkle, who was a perennial champion. There was a match they had where he put Nick Bockwinkle's foot on the rope, I think, to break a count.
Right.
That incensed the audience so much that a man stood up and he fired a gun twice at Bobby Heenan. Jesus just Christ. That level of heat. It actually injured five people in the front row.
Right.
It missed Heenan, but it, you know, went through all the people who were in front of him. The guy himself was identified the shooter, but they never did anything about it, the police. They were just like, we'll keep an eye on him from now on. That's the 60s for you, isn't it? You shoot five people and you go, the thing is, he did have a ticket.
He did have a ticket, and Bobby Heenan really took the piss.
Do you know what, Heenan? We wouldn't be in this situation if it wasn't for you putting Bockwinkle's leg on the rope.
Inciting violence.
Exactly that. Heenan has a long career. Everywhere he went, he was a huge success. Everywhere he went, he was a main eventer. He even, because we think of him, I think, you know, most modern fans, as a WWF manager, which is where he went to in 84. And he was, you know, he managed, I think, more WrestleMania main eventers than anyone else. He was the manager of Andre at WrestleMania 3, the manager of King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2. And during those glory years, he had what was called the Heenan family. So he managed Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect. And he was one of those guys who just gave added value. If you had Heenan in your corner, it made you look like a star, because he was that good. He did actually have a wrestling career that lasted until the 80s, but his neck was broken on a tour when he was working with All Japan against Atsushi Onita. And Atsushi Onita is the guy who we've seen in some of those exploding ring matches that we did, I think, last WrestleMemus. It's an amazing thing to think of Bobby Heenan wrestling in All Japan in the 80s, when it was the number one wrestling organisation in the world. They didn't take people who were okay wrestlers. They only took the very best. And for Heenan to have that career be totally forgotten about because he was so good as a manager, it just tells you the man was just absolutely a dynamo. This is, again, like the Terry Funk, Jerry Lawler match, in that Bobby Heenan does all of the work. The Ultimate Warrior has a total night off. And Heenan, even though he had this broken neck which stopped him competing, he's taking bumps like you would not believe.
Well, he managed to sort of flip himself into the ring post, like, and the crowd start counting the one, two, three, four, as he smashes the head off the the turnbuckle.
He is one of those guys. But the Warrior does that thing where you knock someone's head into the turnbuckle, and Heenan makes it look like it's the most devastating thing in the world. It is such a performance. And watching this again, I think out of all the matches we've seen so far, I enjoyed this match so much because you forget when you're, you know, watching a lot of wrestling, you forget that some of the people who you take for granted as being Hall of Famers, you just forget why they're Hall of Famers. And watching this, Heenan, at the age of 44, puts in a performance the likes of which I haven't seen for years. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
It was really, really fun.
This was his last ever really significant in-ring action. Certainly, I think it may have been one of his last matches. He did say in his autobiography that doing this little run with Warrior, that he was really badly injured by Warrior during it, that he got a lot of injuries at
the
Warrior's hands.
Yeah, some of the quotes about that, they really did not care for one another,
did they? Did not. So Heenan spoke about him and said, I don't like the Ultimate Warrior. He wasn't raised as a wrestler. He wasn't in the business because he loved wrestling. He was a guy who used to work out and he thought this was easy money. He had a great body and his paint looked good and his hair was long. It all stopped there. Once the bell rang, it was over. Now, Heenan has seen every wrestler of note from the 60s to pretty much the 2000s, and he saw the Ultimate Warrior and he said, he is shit. He also said that when they were working together, Heenan would say, look, I've got a broken neck. Very famously in WCW, he swore live on air when Brian Pillman came near him and grabbed him, and Heenan just sort of goes, get the fuck off of me. And part of that was because he had such a bad neck injury. He was thinking, if Pillman does hit me, I could just break, you know, in an instant. When he left WWE, he went to WCW and he became contracted talent, and he needed to do that because he needed surgery on his neck, so he needed to have health insurance.
Right.
So one of the reasons when he left WWE, he sort of kicked out, I think partly because he was too old on camera as well, WCW enabled him to get that surgery because he had to have the medical insurance. Again, a terrible thing that someone who's worked in WWE during its boom period could not afford that medical help on it by himself. By the time this is going out, is it past the 12th? We'll know whether we've got an NHS, you know, still in one piece. So, you know, let's hope no one gets Bobby Heenan if it's gone the wrong way. That's all I'm saying.
Get the fuck off me.
The Ultimate Warrior also was not a fan of Bobby Heenan.
In a quarter, rather robust. I mean, I would say Heenan's gone in a bit on the Warrior.
Yep.
The Warrior's done some finishing moves.
Warrior said here, he said, he sort of had a direct response to the thing that Heenan said there. He said, Heenan's a two-faced bastard, always has been in the business. He should have said something to somebody if he had a problem with it. I mean, I never went out to the ring to try and hurt anybody or anything like that. Not being a technical wrestler is kind of a silly bad rap I get all the time from guys like Bret Hart and industry pundits. Yeah, it's because you weren't very good. My response is, look, you guys were in the business for a dozen years before I even got there. A dozen years, and you never figured it out that wrestling skills per se were not where it was at. It was about being a gimmick. I got there, and in 2 years, I figured it out. I didn't get in the business to just be a pro wrestler, let alone one who had a whole bag of technical moves. I got in to succeed at its highest levels, and I did.
Well, to be fair, I think the back end, there's some certain truth to some of the things he says. I mean, yep. I'm sure you're going to go on to the other things he said about
Bobby Heenan. And it's true, absolutely. Every new generation of wrestler will say that the next generation, they don't know how to work. Mm. You know, I think the difficulty is, with hindsight, yeah, the Ultimate Warrior could not work. You would not want to sit down and watch 15 matches with the Ultimate Warrior. No. I find it hard to watch two, you know, and one of those would be Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6 and the other one is this one. That is more than enough Warrior for me for the rest of my life. Mm. Warrior, when Bobby Heenan got cancer, so in early 2000s, Bobby Heenan contracted cancer of the jaw.
Yeah.
And he had to have a number of surgeries, which really did take away a large part of his face. I mean, it was absolutely invasive.
Yeah, we've spoken about it before.
We have done, yeah.
When he appeared, I think, in the Hall of Fame, he appeared later in life.
Yeah.
He looked like a different
human being.
He's
at a conference where you can see him. And the cruelest thing about it was it took away his voice. Mm. And Heenan was one of those guys who was just incredibly quick-witted, always funny. There's a little talk about him when he did do the conference circuit, which must have been a bold move.
Yeah.
Because it'd be impossible not to see him and go, crikey, you know. And yet he knows that reaction is coming and he would still go there. What he'd do is when people would pay for an autograph, he would take the money from his wife and he'd immediately hold it up to the light as if it was naturally going to be counterfeit.
Right.
So he was even then doing a little bit of wrestling selling like he didn't trust you when you came over with your money. Magic. Absolutely the business, you know, the best ambassador for it. When he got cancer, the Ultimate Warrior put something on his website about it. And, as for you, Bobby Heenan, it's just too difficult to keep a straight face talking about the pure two-faced bag of shit you are and have always been. What, with you also actually wearing one as a piece of body jewellery? No idea what that means.
I think he's talking about a catheter.
Oh, right, okay.
So I think that's what he's doing.
Oh, that's class, isn't it?
Clever, isn't it?
You're dying, diseased on the inside, and no more time is left to get back any of the integrity that matters the most on death's bed. Imagine what it will be like, lying there, taking in your last breaths, knowing you hoard yourself out your whole life and had to, in your final years, be faced with emptying your own personal... I've lost a page.
Shall I finish it?
Yeah.
Your own personal shitbag affirming to you the true value of what you achieved in your life. Not even Vince could come up with a better finish than this. Karma is just a beautiful thing to behold.
Yeah. And talking of karma, Bobby Heenan outlived the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes! Fucking yes.
The Ultimate Warrior died in 2014. Heenan lived another 3 years to 2017. And that is one of the great things that you can have as a wrestler. The Ultimate Warrior didn't have that Bobby Heenan did. And that was timing. Yeah, he died in 2017 at the age of 72. And again, he's one of those guys who a lot of his early career, it doesn't really seem to have been recorded. Mm. You know, those early matches of Heenan, you don't see a lot.
And the ones that are filmed, it's quite streaky, kind of like black and white kind of.
Yeah, and the later ones, he's a manager, so he's playing a sort of, you know, a coward, and you don't always want to see those matches. But do you know what? Just for the 5 minutes that this little match lasts, you get to see everything that made Heenan great: the technique, the selling, the timing, the acting, the performance, everything. And to go in there with the Ultimate Warrior and to be able to do that in the face of him as well, I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy was an absolute motherfucking blinder.
Oh, I enjoyed that one, Mark.
Yeah.
I do like Bobby the Brain.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Oh, man. It made me really, really want to. There is a Bobby the Brain Heenan documentary DVD.
Right, okay.
It came out probably about 2006, 2007. Mm. I saw it at the time and thought that was a great documentary. But now all I want to do is just watch that for an hour and a half on Christmas Day.
Well, it's currently 9 o'clock in the evening, so we've got around out 12 hours before CEX opens. So we can have a look.
Yeah, that's the good thing about this is we talk about it. I'm sure there's loads of people going, I'd actually quite like to go and get that. Guys, we recorded this last week. I've bought them all. You can get them on the Wrestle Me merch site. They're £22 each.
Broadly illegal reselling.
I'm basically the new CEX. This podcast is just trying to drum up trade for the fact that I've got 600 copies of Unforgiven 2007 that I need to get rid of.
Oh, Mark, we'll be back very, very soon with more Wrestle Memes. It's been real. It's been particularly emotional, this one, because we do like Bobby. And we'll be back very soon.
Yeah, we will do. And look, we hope you'll join us because, you know, they've just been fantastic and they'll continue to get better.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.